And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
Our scripture readings for today tell us why it is we need a Savior and just who that Savior is. The first scripture reading is from the first book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, one of the saddest chapters in the entire Bible. And as you and I have there, that account of man's fall into sin. And then today's gospel reading is from the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, one of the happiest chapters in all the Bible, as you and I have recorded there how Jesus defeated Satan and did not yield to sin when confronted with temptation. One loses the battle against Satan, the other wins the battle against Satan. What's the difference? Genesis 3, Satan speaks through the serpent. And in this section of scripture, we have what I call the strategy of temptation. First, place doubt on the word that God has spoken. This is the first in this strategies of temptation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" You see what Satan's doing here? Placing doubt on the word that God has already spoken. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God really say you shall not commit adultery? Did he really say that? Did God really say you shall not steal? And Eve answers appropriately. "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden," she said, "but God did say, you shall not eat of the fruit that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And what follows next is the second in this strategy of temptation. Satan contradicts the word. He says to the woman, "You will not surely die." And they didn't die right away, but they eventually died. Why? Because God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And man has been suffering and dying ever since. The first strategy of temptation is cast doubt on the word of God. Did God really say that? The second strategy of temptation is contradict the word. You shall not surely die. And then the third and final strategy of temptation is Satan makes promises of his own. Satan says to Eve, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And it's no fun to sin alone. So she gave some to her husband, and he ate. And thus we have man's fall into sin. Man lost his battle against Satan. Man yielded to temptation and fell headlong into sin. Yet then comes Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Notice that. This was a deliberate act. Jesus was led there by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted. And it's well to point out something right here. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's what you do with temptation that determines whether or not you have sinned. If you yield to it, if you give way to temptation, then you have sinned. But the temptation itself is not a sin. The Bible says, Hebrews 4, Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never yielded to a temptation, not once. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. In Matthew chapter 4, we're told there that Jesus had fasted in that wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I have seen that wilderness where Jesus was. It's barren. It almost looks like something out of the Twilight Zone. Nothing's there. Jesus fasted in that wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, how tempting do you think that would be if you hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? Jesus quoted scripture to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And again, Satan tempts Jesus. And again, Jesus quotes scripture to Satan, "It is written." And then Satan tempts Jesus a third time, a final time. Jesus again quotes scripture to Satan, "It is written." On three different occasions, Jesus says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And then comes Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, perhaps one of the most powerful verses in this entire fourth chapter. It says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to Jesus." Did you hear that? The devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to Jesus. Something wonderful has just happened. Something has happened in terms of our salvation, which had not happened since man's fall into sin. This is the first time and the only time that someone has taken on Satan head on and won. For the first time, someone has gone up before Satan and won. Jesus Christ has gained the victory. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. One loses the battle against Satan, and the other wins the battle against Satan. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, namely Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, namely Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous." Are you losing your battle against Satan? Or are you winning your battle against Satan? And the real answer to that question depends on who it is who is in charge of your life. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then out of love for him, you will keep his commandments. "If you love me," says Jesus, "you will obey my commandments." Now, that doesn't mean that we reach perfection on this side of the grave, not at all. So that we end up answering with the Apostle Paul, Romans 7, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Can you identify with Paul? Oh, yes. "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." And this is a struggle that you and I have throughout all of life. We never reach perfection on this side of the grave. And yet, by God's grace and loving our Lord Jesus and growing in him and his word and obeying his word out of love for him, then we are more Christ-like today than we were yesterday, and yet less than tomorrow. It's what Luther called ein eiliges Werden, an ever state of becoming. My prayer for you is that you win not lose, that you win your battles over Satan as you declare with Jesus, "It is written, it is written, it is written." In Christ's name, amen.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.